What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Giants Collective, the fastest growing show on YouTube. All right, I made that part up, but we're going pretty good. And we appreciate all the support. We went over 4,200 subscribers because of the best fans in the world. And that is New York Giants fans who have put up with a lot of shit, to say the least, for the last few years. And putting up with a lot of shit again as we just are patiently waiting. And right before we started, I saw JCNYC said, I can't wait. This draft is over. All the mocks are annoying to many. And Adriana mentioned that right before I went live. So I wanted to point it out because they are. They get very, I don't know what to say, repetitive or just like you said, annoying because most of this is a pipe dream and they're just looking to do different things as it is. But as always, I'm joined by Adriana and Anatena. Anthony could not make it tonight, but that's okay. We will press through without our guy, Anthony. So first things first. again, I want to thank you guys for kind of working your schedule on me. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I have had a weird week, to say the least. My wife's birthday is tomorrow, so there's no way I could do it on Friday as I normally do. And then next week I'm on vacation, so it's just weird. But right before the draft, we'll be back to normal. At least I'll be back to, well, as normal as I can be. I'm not really normal, but my schedule will be back to normal. Put it that way. Abdul Carter, it seems to be the toast of the town. The Giants met with him today. They're going to meet with him again tomorrow. They met with him. They had breakfast with him. They met him at the combine. They met him at pro day. He seems to be the man. And today his medicals came out. He's good to go. Adriana, how confident are you we're getting Abdul Carter?
Thrilled. He's the guy. And if they draft him, the biggest thing that says to me, it says two things to me. Joe Shane has learned from his mistakes and he is going best player available. He's not forcing anything. He's not forcing the quarterback just because Shedeur Sanders is on the board. I think Hunter is going to, if it's not him, it's Sanders. Could you imagine if we have Carter or Hunter on the board? That would be something, but
would be possible. Somewhere. Possible.
Yeah. Never know. But I would be really psyched about it. I feel better about the medicals. You know, I think all of us as Giants fans are a little bit scarred of dealing with all these players with their injuries over the year and just kind of feeling like no one's ever healthy. So I know that's been a concern for some fans and I was a little worried about it. I feel better that it sounds like the surgery is not going to be a problem. His foot is cleared. It's healing well. So I love it. I love it. It makes me so happy that if they draft him, we can just be ready to go from day one.
Chris, how do you feel about Abdul Carter wearing a Giants uniform? Because it does seem like this.
Yeah, it feels that way. And we talked about it last show. The only thing that was, it seemed, could potentially hold the Giants back was if these medicals came back negative, and that apparently is not the case. So everything looks like it checked out. We'll see. Maybe Cleveland likes him. We don't know, right? Maybe Cleveland takes him at two for all we know. I know all the rumors have been Travis Hunter or I guess possibly Shedeur Sanders. But it seems like if Abdul Carter's there, he's probably the pick for the New York Giants. And there's no way I'm going to be upset about that. I've said now for months that I think he's the best player in this draft. I've thought for a while we're going to take Shedeur because, I mean, the reason why I've said we need a quarterback. It's pretty obvious. And I think it gives Joe Shane the best opportunity to extend his job. But at the end of the day, if you ask me what's more likely to be the better long-term pick, I think it's Abdul Carter. Quarterbacks are far from a sure thing, especially in this draft class. Even though I like Shedeur, he's not a slam dunk prospect. You get a guy like Abdul Carter, I think the only thing that you really question is potential injuries. We watched this guy play Bad Dog together, watching that Penn State-Notre Dame game, and he looked like Micah Parsons. I thought Micah Parsons went back to Penn State with the way that he was playing in that game. So you get a guy like that on this defense, and it could transform everything. You look at the best defenses in the league. We've talked about it before. Aiden Hutchinson, look what he did to that Lions defense. Bosa, look what he did to that 49ers defense when he got there. Micah Parsons, look what he did to that Cowboys defense when he got there. If you could get an elite edge rusher, it can take a defense to the next level. So I'm not going to be upset at all if we end up with who I feel is the best prospect in this class, which it looks like that's the case right now. He's the favorite in going into the clubhouse, it feels right now.
Oh, man, without question. Yeah, we watched those two games, and he was an absolute beast. And, yeah, a really good pass rush can mask a lot of problems on a defense. And it's something we haven't really done without blitzing. We haven't really been able to get there with four guys. You look at how the Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? They didn't blitz. I don't think they blitzed Mahomes one time. They were getting pressure with four guys. you had a guy like Abdul Carter to Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden. Well, now your front seven really looks formidable. And you would hope a guy like Abdul Carter, I know we mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau on last show, you'd hope that that would light a fire under Kayvon's ass. There's no question Kayvon Thibodeau has the talent to be a great pass rusher. And I think that's why he frustrates Giants fans, because you see it one game and then it's like, where the hell did he go? Where did he go? You know, he used to do that wide receiver was Ruben Randall. Ruben Randall would have these games where he was amazing and then we'd forget he was on the team. Kayvon does that. Kayvon will have these games like he did Thanksgiving against the Cowboys a couple years ago, where he's in the backfield every play. And then it's like he's on the field. It's like, is he hurt? Is he on the side? Oh, he's still out there. You just haven't heard anything from him. I think if you do get him some competition, I think he would step his game up. Because, Chris, I think you mentioned it last show or somebody did. You're not drafting Abdul Carter third overall to rotate snaps or to be a pass with like a third down specialist. He's there. He's going to play most of the downs without question. And as a guy that grew up in the 80s and remembers the defenses of Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor and Leonard Marshall and Gary Reasons and Pepper Johnson, and I remember how good that pass rush was and what that was able to do for the New York Giants. And then if you're younger than me, and I saw this one too, you saw Talk and you and your and Strahan, you saw what that did, JPP, that NASCAR package, right? We can do that again. You get a guy, like we were talking about where you could play him. I mean, you could probably play, I almost called him Micah Parsons. You could probably play Abdul Carter anywhere, because the Cowboys do that with Micah Parsons. They move him all over the place. Might not be a bad idea to not know where a guy like Abdul Carter is, where you're like, he's over there. And you have to point him out, because that should make everybody else better. I'd be thrilled if they got Abdul Carter without question. But no matter how you look at it, the Giants are going to get one of those two best players in the league, or in the draft, rather. And under Carter, and I'm cool with either one of them without question. But looking at everything that's going on, I think Abdul Carter is going to be the guy. But you know, we've seen these before. We love Shador, now it's not. We love McCarthy, and then it wasn't. So we'll see what happens. The only way we're going to know is 2 weeks from tonight. We're going to find out for sure. Chris, you mentioned the quarterback spot.
Yeah,
and I wanted to get your thought on this. We'll start with you. So I was just looking at some Giants stuff today, and you know Mel Kiper. Everybody knows Mel Kiper. Well, he releases his 2-round mock, and I was just curious what you guys' thoughts were on this, because he talks about 5 quarterbacks in this draft class, and he says this is where Kiper projects all 5 signal callers go. This is Cam Ward to the Titans. I don't think that's any question. I think we know that. He has Shador going to New Orleans, so he doesn't have the Raiders taking him. He doesn't have the Jets taking him. I can see him ending up.
I can see that.
Saints makes sense, right? He has Jackson Dart going to the Rams. That's another team that makes sense. Stafford is getting older, and Dart could sit there for a couple of years. He's not a day one starter, so you give him a couple of years to learn under Matt Stafford, a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. It's a good move for Los Angeles. And then it gets weird. I don't think Cleveland or the Giants would stay at 33 and 34 and get the quarterback. Obviously, they would trade into the first round to get the fifth-year option. Cleveland, he has taken Tyler Shuck. I can't see Tyler Shuck going 33rd overall. But then, and this is the kicker that I saw, because it doesn't have the mock where he actually has the Giants trading 34 and 65 to move up to wherever it was, I think 24 Minnesota, to get Jalen Milroe. Okay, Chris, how would you feel the Giants traded back up into the first round, gave up their second round pick and their third round pick to get Jalen Milroe at 24?
I mean, I'm not going to be ecstatic about it. I'm also not going to flip out. I'm going to be like, okay, they must like him enough if they're going to go up and get him. I see that, you know, why some fans are excited about him because of his potential. They see his athletic profile. They see he has a strong arm. But I see a quarterback that has a ton to work on. And, I don't watch every Alabama game, but in the games I watch as a thrower, he didn't impress me very much. And I understand people see guys like Josh Allen. This guy's not Josh Allen. He doesn't have the physical attributes of a Josh Allen. Could he morph into something? Sure. And you brought Dable in here to do that. Would I be in love with that? No. I think Adriana said this last week. I am more in line with the thought process. If you don't like a quarterback enough at 3, I'm okay taking a quarterback at 99, 105. I don't want to use that 34th pick or trade up to 28 to get a quarterback in this year's draft. I would rather get an elite running back. The guy from North Carolina, people talk about him potentially 4 and 34. I would rather get an elite defensive tackle prospect, the strength of this class. That's my mindset. Will I flip out? No, that's their prerogative if they want to go that route. But if you don't feel strongly enough to take a quarterback at three, I feel you wait until later in the draft to take your quarterback. I don't love the idea of taking Jalen Milroe at 24 or 34. I'm more okay with doing it at 65 or 99, but I really don't like the idea at 34.
Same. Yeah. To me, it's like, what my problem with that is, like, what is the plan? Why are you taking Jalen Milroe at 34 or whatever he said, 32? If you know this guy has like years worth of development, why would you bother taking him that early? I understand that he's athletic and he's got the physical traits and he, you know, maybe they think that they could use him in some sort of like Mason Rudolph type of way this year, but I don't see the Giants doing that. So I'm like, if you just wait until the third round. And this is the problem that I have during the draft is that one team makes a run on quarterbacks and then it scares all the other teams and they have to draft a quarterback. And I just don't want the Giants to fall into that because they have three third round picks. No one's going to convince me that they can't get Jalen Milroe at some point during the third round. Maybe they might have to trade into the back of the second round, but from everything that I have seen and read and learned about Jalen Milroe, he is not a round one prospect. He's not a round two prospect. He's a project. And to take him in round one, to me, that would scream desperate. Yeah. Them taking Shador at three, it is what it is. They need a quarterback, fine. It's not that desperate to me because he's probably going to go in the top 10 anyway. So be it. Trading into the first to get Jalen Milroe screams that they have no idea what the hell they're doing because what on earth is the plan with Jalen Milroe at that point? Shador, fine. If you want to put him in instead of Jameis Winston or you put Jameis Winston in at week 10 because Russ sucks or is injured or whatever, and you could put Shador in the last couple games, you're not putting Jalen Milroe in at all this year. And I think that Dable actually loves Milroe, and I could absolutely see the Giants taking him at some point. I just think jumping the gun and taking him at the end of the first round or early second round is absurd. And when we're talking about a team that has been, especially during Hard Knocks, like from last year on, it seems like they really have focused on the value of a player. That would go against everything that they have ever preached in the last 2 years, is how value is so important. That's why they didn't take JJ over Neighbors last year. If they do that with Jalen Milroe, then they're 100% bullshitting us on everything. And I don't believe a word that comes out of their mouth because it just makes no sense. None.
Yeah. I love it. You were more blunt than me, but I agree with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Number one, great point by you. When quarterbacks start going up the board or any position, it does seem like sometimes positions will feel like a running back. And then all of a sudden there's a run on them or there's a run because, like you said, teams like, oh, shit, what if we don't get our guy? Oh, shit. And they'll reach. Jalen Milroe at 34. And again, I promise you, if the Giants take a quarterback with their second pick, it will not be at 34. It will be in the back of the first round because it will be stupid to not get up and have a fifth-year option with that quarterback. It'd be dumb to not do that because you're not going to have to give up that much. But it might be more dumb to take Jalen Milroe there because Jalen Milroe is a major product. Yeah, he can run fast, and you can teach mechanics, and you can teach footwork, and you can teach us. You can't teach flat-out speed, but there's a lot more to being a quarterback in the NFL than flat-out speed. The game moves much faster. These linebackers can catch a QB that runs 4-3, so they can't do it in college. You might play against two, maybe three NFL defensive players on one team in college. In the NFL, you're playing against 11 NFL players. It's not the same game at all. In the NFL, you have to be pinpoint accurate. You have to be able to read defenses. You have to be able to get rid of the ball. You have to have everything together. We have seen a million times guys have great mechanics. They have great Trevor Lawrence. He stinks, right? Jalen Milroe, the Giants aren't set up to take Jalen Milroe that early. 65, sure. I probably wouldn't like him there, but, you know, whatever. I can deal with it. Third round pick. I can deal with 99 especially. And again, to your point, Adriana, if you're going to trade up to take Jalen Milroe, just take Shador Sanders at three. Just take Sanders at three. That would make more sense than giving up draft picks to move up to get Milroe because, again, he's going to sit there. You're not going to put him in going, this is the quarterback of the future. It would wreak a desperation.
of all the positions, Bad Dog, that is the last position that you want to draft for value.
We know.
Like people frequently bring up the, you know, in this draft class, you know, people are starting to sprinkle the idea that the Giants could go running back in the second. And a lot of people are saying, don't do that. It's a deep running back class. You could get value in round four, round five, which I agree with that philosophy, especially in a rich running back draft class. That's a position you go for value. Quarterback, you don't mess around. If you like a quarterback, we're picking third. Take him there. If you're gonna put your job in line, then make sure you get the best quarterback you could possibly get. Right. If you don't feel strongly enough to take Shador at three, I don't want you trading up to 24 to get Jalen Milroe. Like at that point, just wait until round three, round four, and maybe you hit on a prayer. If not, you're okay with him being the long term backup. So I agree. Yeah, well, it's a mistake if you take him that early.
Agreed.
And when you talk about value, imagine the type of player that you can get at 24 instead of Jalen Milroe. We could have an epic offensive lineman, defensive lineman, corner. Like, we could literally have anyone. Picking Jalen Milroe over someone like that, especially like if they get Hunter instead of Carter, you can get a really good edge there. Like, you can get so many other players that are worth it at 24. Jalen Milroe is not worth the 24th overall pick. No chance in hell.
No way. I would be, Chris said he wouldn't be ecstatic. I'd be pretty pissed off if they did that. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't react like it did when we drafted Daniel Jones. I don't think the Giants, if they took Milroe at three.
By the way, I don't think they're going to do this because I think the whole reason why the Giants have acted the way they have, it does feel like there's a push from Mara to produce a good football team this year. And if that's the case, you can't afford to take a three-year project at the quarterback spot at pick 24. So I just don't see it happening. I think it's a bad job by Kiper with that mock. But like we talked about before the live stream, people just do every possible scenario with mocks because they get bored as the draft gets closer. It is what it is. But I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. Another thing, though, speaking of running backs, actually, I thought I had a list here.
You brought in a ton. We I think like four.
Oh, I have a list if you want it.
Yeah, we brought in five running backs, I guess, in top 30 visits. I don't think it was Genty, one of them. I had that list earlier. No.
It's O'Marion Hampton from UNC.
Trevion Henderson.
Rutgers, Kyle Monongi. OSU Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, Judkins, yeah.
Siddiqui Cohn from American International. And then the last one, and I want to point this out because I think this is very interesting, is the Iowa running back Caleb Johnson. And we have to talk about him for a second because for those of you who don't know, this offseason, the Giants hired two coaches that both came from Iowa. One of them is the running backs coach who, when he was the running back coach at Iowa, Caleb Johnson had the best year of his entire career. He had the most production. He had a historic year. And he had something like well over 1,000 rushing yards. He had an absurd amount of touchdowns. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that when I was looking into this running back coach, when the Giants hired him, there was a lot of talk about how the theory was that he was the guy that really brought Caleb Johnson out of his shell. So I think if there's one guy that I think might be a little bit ahead of any of these running backs, I think it's going to be him. And I would not be surprised if the Giants pick him.
You're putting the piece together. That was some good investigative work there. That sounds like that could very well be their target, especially with the ties to the staff. And I, as I've said on the show several times, the pattern with Joe Shane when it comes to the draft, just look at his top 30 visits. You could do your mock draft. Like, every one of his picks comes from the top 30 visits. So it's clearly obvious that one of these running backs will be picked by the Giants, and they're all projected to go in different spots in the draft. So good find by you, though. It sounds like he could very well be the guy that the Giants are targeting. I don't know where he's being locked, but that's a good find.
I don't either. I was going to say, how early do you
– Yeah, second or third rounder. Maybe day three is what I saw, actually.
The two running backs I like the most that you mentioned, Hampton is awesome. That's the guy from North Carolina, right? People compare him. They say he's like neck and neck with Genty. Like, some people like him nearly as much as him. I don't think he's even going to be there at 34. I don't know where he's being mocked, but I've seen film on him. He's a tremendous prospect. and Judkins out of Ohio State. Ohio State had two really good running backs this year.
Yeah, Travion Henderson was the other one.
Henderson being the other, yeah. But, yeah, Judkins is really good too. So I'd be thrilled with either one of those two players.
Without question. I wanted to say this too because I haven't been mentioning this. So if you're catching us on YouTube, you can also catch us on you can catch a show on Apple. You can catch us on Spotify and Amazon Music. The links to all of those, our show, are in the description. So if you want to check that out, if you're driving or whatever, you want to replay the show or you just catch a bit of it, you can definitely check it out on those media outlets. So check us up. I can't talk today. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. I'm getting amped up for the freaking draft. That's why I'm definitely getting amped up for the draft without question. But how early do you think we would take a running back in this draft class? How early do you think we would?
I'm going to tell you what, Bad Dog. I'm a big trend guy when it comes to the NFL, and I do think the league evolves. It goes in trends. And if you look at the league, running backs are viewed a lot more valuable than they were 2 or 3 years ago. You look at the best teams last year, Henry, Barkley, James Cook, all of them had really good running backs, and they had a quarterback-running back dynamic. I do think the running backs are making a comeback. Now, I don't think teams are going to want to commit to them past the age of 26, 27, but I do think teams are starting to – Jahmyr Gibbs is another one, by the way, on the Lions. I do think teams are being more open to drafting running backs relatively early in the draft. So I wouldn't be upset if the Giants took if he's an elite running back prospect, if they got the kid from North Carolina. It's not. I'm not saying it's what I want, but I wouldn't be upset with that pick. You add him to this offense with a guy like Malik Nabers, that's dangerous, man. You'd have two dynamic weapons at the two most important skill positions on an offense. So I could see it. I wouldn't be upset if the Giants elected to go that route if they thought he was an elite prospect at the running back position.
Yeah, it's interesting because we do need a running back. And at some point in this draft, there's no question they're going to take one. Yeah. You know, Terry's not around much longer. Eric Gray's probably not around much longer either. Tyron Tracy obviously looked like he could play, but it'd be nice to have a 1-2 punch behind his quarterback.
We got to remember, he was older when he came right in. And as much as I loved him in his rookie year, the guy's got fumbling problems. Like, he fumbled a lot, Tyron Tracy. I think he's going to be a really good piece of a committee. But if you can get a great playmaker, I'm more in line with wanting the D-tackle there because it's the strength of the draft. I think it's more of a need for this team. But I don't think the dude from North Carolina should fall to 34. I think he should be a top 20, 25 pick. If he fell to 34, I wouldn't be upset if the Giants took him.
Me neither. I mean, listen, I can get on board with them doing it there, you know, without question. I just want to say big up to BetUS. BetUS sponsors our stream here. Let's see if this shows up. Let me show this last time. There it is. Let me get rid of this banner, but there it is. If you guys want to – you think that Coach Daboll – let's get him on Coach of the Year. He is 28-1. 28 out of 32 coaches. They have no faith in Coach Daboll and the Giants, but you can go to BetUS TV. They have a great channel on YouTube. Check them out. They have all your latest odds, your props, your futures, your parlays. You can look at all the draft odds. It's got to be insane. But Coach Daboll, now if he gains weight and looks like this, he's got a chance. Thin Daboll, I don't know. But that was when he won Coach of the Year because you could tell he's a little bit thicker. Around the hips. But either way, if the Giants win 9 games again, this guy could win Coach of the Year. And I'll be honest, I don't think that's a bad bet. I honestly don't. 28-1. I don't think it's a bad bet at all. Because how do you win Coach of the Year? Your team isn't expected to do shit, and you overachieve. So think of the best teams in the league. Andy Reid ain't going to win Coach of the Year, right? No. Nick Sirianni ain't going to win Coach. You can eliminate a lot of coaches because they're not going to win Coach of the Year. They're not a good team. But when you're on a bad team and the expectations are low, and the Giants surprise and go 9-8 and make the playoffs, he could do it again.
Mike Tomlin's not going to win Coach of the Year. Like, yeah, like you right. Like you said, 10 guys are out before the year starts.
Right. So, yeah. Sean McVay's not going to win Coach of the Year. Yeah.
It's going to be between Daboll and Schottenheimer.
There you go. There you go. But, yeah.
I did see, though, that Abdul Carter is now the favorite to go to the Giants.
Yeah.
It really does feel that way, though. It really does.
Yeah. It definitely
can change in a week, but today it feels that way.
Yeah,
no question. Let's get to some of your comments. Here they go. Toasty. Thank you, bro. Kuiper also has the Giants trading with Philly at 32. I don't know why Philadelphia would ever trade with the Giants.
Yeah.
To be fair to Kuiper, and I agree, I don't think they would, especially if it was to get a quarterback. They wouldn't want to hand us a quarterback, but they have done it before. The Eagles have traded in division multiple times in recent years. They
screw us, though, not to help us.
That's
yeah, but that's because Jerry Jones is a dummy.
No, we know that.
That's why. He should have been like, piss off. No, I'm not trading with a division rival.
Yeah,
I always say I hope Jerry Jones lives to be 100
million.
A million, exactly. He looks like he's a million years old, but I hope he lives. He looks like Kane from Poltergeist. That's really what he reminds me of, and I hope he lives for another 100 years. I think he does a great job at Dallas, you know, so I hope he continues on because, I mean, if there's some ownership that really don't know what the hell they're doing, he's a disaster. They have no money. They are going – I'm telling you, I said this a few shows back. The Giants will finish ahead of Dallas in the division this year. I'm not saying we're going to finish second or first. We're finishing ahead of Dallas. That's all I know. And like I said, you can.
I could see it. I don't think that's that crazy to say. I don't think Dallas is very good. I really don't.
Timestamp 27:45. Come back. Bad dog at age like milk. I already know. But we're going to beat Dallas this year. It's going to happen. That happens all the time. Video from 5 years ago. Oh, that was a terrible take. Oh, thanks for reminding me. Brandon, like I didn't know. I love that. That was a bad take. Thanks. I didn't know that was a bad take. Thank you. I couldn't figure that out myself without somebody telling me. Brandon, thank you so much. Says, what's up, guys? Love the show. We appreciate that.
Thank you for watching.
I'm just trying to kick in the can with quarterbacks. We do need one for the future. Can't keep waiting and hoping for the next draft. It definitely makes sense without question. Adriana, you want to start with that one? Your thoughts
on
that?
I don't disagree, but my thinking with this is when it comes to the quarterback position, you better love them and feel like he's the guy you're willing to take early on in the draft. If like where the Giants are at right now, like we knew last year, they loved Jaden Daniels and Drake May. They were going to take one of those guys. If whoever was there, they were going to do it. They tried to trade up this year. They tried to trade up for Cam Ward. Like they have their convictions on their quarterback since they've been here. They have in the draft. And if Shador is their guy and they love him, they will pick him at three. I just am not sold that they feel that strongly about him. And I feel like if you are picking a quarterback in the top 10, you better think that he is going to be the franchise quarterback of the future. And if you don't think that, you have to move on. And I'm feeling like that's not it. And the Giants, I think, are also kind of in a position where they really have to figure out the roster. And there are a lot of question marks on this team. And I know that every year is different, but I feel like if they can have a good draft again this year, and we can see some more production on the field this year, then you get your quarterback next year. And in theory, just a theory.
Yeah.
On paper, they could be an amazing team in 2026. And I know that obviously it's all a question mark, but it's also a question mark whether or not Shador Sanders is going to be a franchise quarterback. So at some point you're going into the season, you're going into the draft. There's going to be some sort of question mark. We are not the Chiefs who are good every year. We're not the Eagles who are good every year. Until we get to that point where our roster is talented enough, where we feel like, all right, every year we're going to be competitive, then you can get your quarterback and you can plug and play. And I have faith that 2026, we're going to be much closer than we are right now. But I just think we're not really in a position to just plug and play a quarterback. And like I said, if you don't love him, you better not pick him at three and force it.
Right. Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
I sympathize with you, Brandon, and thank you for watching our show, man. We appreciate it, and I've been saying I thought they were going to take Shador, and I'm with you, man. I'm sick of not having a long-term answer at the quarterback spot, and I do like Shador. I wouldn't use the term love, but I like him, and I think I'm, like, desperate enough as a fan knowing that I want some hope and I want a franchise quarterback that I got on board with it, and I did think that Shane would cave to the pressure to keep his job to draft him. I really felt that way up until the last week or two, and now it feels like it's not going that way. But I'll tell you this, if you're asking me if Joe Shane was in year one or year two, I would have said the easy decision in this draft would have been to take Abdul Carter or to take Travis Hunter. I was always under the impression, and apparently the illusion, that year four, the heat would have been turned up and he would have felt the pressure to have to draft the quarterback. So the good news, I think it's good news. I mean, obviously if Shador blows up, it's a horrible pick. Don't care how good Abdul Carter is. If you had the opportunity to take a top 7, 8, 9 quarterback, you messed up if you're Joe Shane, especially with how desperate we are to take one. So Joe Shane better be right if he decides to pass on Shador Sanders. But if you would have told me this was year one or year two of Shane, I would have said this is a slam dunk. You don't even think about taking a quarterback. You take Abdul Carter, you take Travis Hunter. They're far and away the best players in this draft. So I get it, man, though. I'm just as anxious as you are, man. I want a long-term answer. Russell Wilson doesn't do it for me. He does it for Anthony. Anthony's excited about him. He's a big Russell Wilson fan. 1 year, $10 million doesn't do it for me. I want a long-term answer at the quarterback just as bad as you do, my man. And hopefully we get it next year if we don't elect to do it this year. But I'm of the mindset, as I said earlier, if you don't want a quarterback at three, I don't want you wasting a pick on a quarterback early in this draft at that point. Wait until day three to take your quarterback and just keep building the team and hope that they strike it big next year.
It makes sense. I mean, we haven't had a good quarterback since Eli. We've dealt with some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL, whether it's from Jones, whether it's from Locke, whether it's from whoever you want to plug in there. I mean, we've had some bad Jake Fromm. Remember that guy? Remember Mike Glennon? I mean, we have seen some really horrific, abhorrent quarterback play. I mean, when I have to use the word abhorrent, that's pretty bad. Okay. We have a really bad, this is the best quarterback room that Dable and Shane have had to work with. And we're talking about a guy in Jameis Winston, who's pretty much a backup at this point in his career, and a guy that's 36 years old. I mean, that is where we are as a franchise when it comes to the quarterback. So I understand fans wanting to get a quarterback. Me personally, everybody knows this, since last year, I was a Cameron Ward guy. If Cameron Ward ever fell to three, I would run to the podium for them to take Cameron Ward, because I think Cameron Ward is going to be really good. He has the potential to be really good. And that's the guy that I wanted, because I also want a quarterback of the future. But I look at this like buying a house, okay? Just because you need or you want a new house doesn't mean you go into that going, I kind of like it. When you buy a house, man, you better love it, because it's a long commitment, okay? You don't want to just go in there and be like, in a year later, go, I don't like this. Because, number one, you can't just turn your house over. You're going to lose a lot of money. And if you're a GM, you're probably going to lose your job if you mess. It's especially him. He's going to, if he misses, it's over. I don't care. He might not, you know, Shure Sanders, who knows what he's going to be. He might not even get the chance to see Shure Sanders if the Giants are really bad. So I think Joe Shane's got to take the best player, the player that he thinks will make an immediate impact. Mm-hmm. And I understand we want a future. I get it. But Shure Sanders will not make an immediate impact on this team. It's going to take a little bit. So
that's true. Yeah.
I understand both sides of the fence. I really do. Yeah. But again, if you don't absolutely love him, and if there's any doubt, you can't take him. You can't take him at three.
Yeah, listen, I'd be a hypocrite. I'd be a hypocrite if I argued against that. I like Shador. I think I like Shador more than a lot of people do. A lot of people do not like Shador. But I've been saying that for years on YouTube, exactly what Adriana said. Like, you better love the quarterback if you're going to take him, because at the end of the day, that's what your job is going to be dependent on. That's the guy. That's the guy that the team is built around. I'm just of the mindset that I think the time's up for Joe Shane if this team's bad this year, if he bypasses the quarterback. You know, it doesn't matter at this point. That's why I thought he was going to feel forced to do it, to try to extend his job, and apparently he didn't. And in a way, even though if I was in Shane's shoes, I probably would take Shador Sanders. In a way, I kind of commend Joe Shane for that. He's putting the team's best, what he feels at least, is the team's long-term best interest above his own. Because I really do believe if he took Shador Sanders, he'd almost be guaranteed to get another year with this team. And he also didn't spend like a drunken sailor in free agency, which a lot of fans feared. So I think you have to commend Joe Shane a bit for the way, and we don't know yet what he's going to do in the draft, but at least the way that it's trending, with the way that he's handled this offseason in a year that we all thought he was going to be GMing for his job.
Yeah. Is there any chance that him and Mara had a conversation in March in free agency? And Mara kind of said, like, I'm curious if maybe Mara changed his mind at the end of the season to March, in the sense that, you know how at the end of the season, he was like, well, we better have a quarterback and whatnot. I am just very curious if Joe Shane sat down with him and said, listen, this is what we're hearing. We talked to other GMs. Cam Ward is going number one. We tried to trade up with them. He was really our guy. We like Shador. We've done extensive research on him. We're just not sure that he's the right fit. He's not going to make an immediate impact. Our focus is now this. And I think he laid out two plans with Mara at the end of the season. And one of them was, we're going to get our rookie quarterback and we're going to see how it goes this year. We might not win that many games, but we could have our franchise guy. Or we're going to bring in veteran quarterbacks. We're going to see if a quarterback falls to us at three, and we're going to focus on winning now. And we're going to get some wins under our belt, and we're going to worry about the quarterback next year. And I think that that might be what he's selling Mara on now, is, listen, we're going to build up this roster. There's a lot of holes. We got a tough schedule, but I feel confident in our veteran quarterbacks who we know are competent football players. We, you know, are going to bring in Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, best player available. We're going to bolster up this defense. We made some good signings in free agency. You know, I feel really confident in the people that I have in the building. We had a great draft last year. We're going to do it again this year. And we're just going to focus on winning now and getting this roster to a place where if we bring in a quarterback next year, in theory, we can plug and play and should be good to go. And I kind of feel like that might be what he's selling him on. And I kind of feel like that's a fair sell, because my also argument when it comes to the quarterback is you have to put them in the right situation. And if our offensive line is still a mess, which is very possible, that on week one, it's just mediocre, it's okay, it's going to take 6 weeks for this team to gel, pray Andrew Thomas doesn't get hurt, and the offensive line looks good, you're not putting Shedeur Sanders out there. You're not doing it until the offensive line and things are built up a little bit. So I'm like, if you're Joe Shane and you're like, the roster is not there, we're going to focus on building the roster up, we're going to let the veterans deal with the shitty offensive line and figure that out, and then next year, you know, we've got the good offensive line, we're ready to go, and the quarterback can just step in.
And I think you bring up a lot of good points. And I agree with what you're saying. Like, ideally, I would want what the Lions had before we drafted a quarterback, or what the Eagles have. But this would be my retort if I was John Mara to what you just said. If Joe Shane came to me with that and the team won 5 or 6 games this year and they didn't draft a quarterback, I would say, Joe, you're right. You did a great job trying to build up the team this year. But you had 3 years to get the team in place to be able to support the quarterback. And you didn't feel confident enough in the team that you built in 3 years to draft the quarterback to be able to maximize him. So what does that say about the job you did leading into this year? That's just where I stand, and where, like, I don't know, Audrey, maybe I'm wrong, but I really do feel if the team wins 5 or 6 games, I really can't see Joe Shane coming back next year. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm a stability guy. I want him to come back.
I think that's why all of us were like, John Mara comes out and he's like, I actually think the roster is worse now than it was 3 years ago, but I'm going to keep the GM. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing? Then I almost feel like you have to give him 2 years, because you can't build a roster overnight. If you think the roster is worse, but you have enough confidence in him to give him one more year with 8 draft picks to figure it out, what world are you living in? That in 1 year it's going to fix it? It's just absurd with the schedule that we have.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll come back if they win 5 or 6 games. We'll see. We're going to find out.
Sounds like Mara's been hanging out with Jerry Jones too long. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
I keep seeing Patrick Rose saying we're all speculators. Of course we are.
Yeah, that's time of year. Of course you're speculating. What do you think the guys that get paid millions of dollars to do this are doing right now? Yeah, they don't know any more than we do. They're all speculating. That's what this time of year is, you know, but we've only got to do it for 2 more weeks. And then we're gonna have some answers. Thank you. Keep an eye on Rutgers running back Kyle Monongai. He is best friends with my brother. He is best friends with my friend's brother who played with him at Don Bosco. Reminds me of Isaiah Pacheco. Mm. Pacheco can succeed.
One of my favorite running backs in the league, Isaiah Pacheco. He was dinged up this year, so he wasn't that good, but nobody runs harder than him. So I haven't watched I don't watch a lot of Rutgers football, Tyler. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. If he runs like Isaiah Pacheco, I would love him in a Giants uniform.
Yeah.
Kim Scadabo also runs very hard. So yes, he does. That's the guy that I look at. Who are they playing? Who the hell did they play? Who did Arizona State? Oh, Texas. I was really impressed with him, the way he ran, the way he caught the ball. I was like, hell, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, that's a guy that, again, later in the draft, obviously not in the second round, probably not at 65, but if he's there, 99, 105, fourth round, somewhere in there. Yeah, that's the guy. Look at the Giants are going to take a running back at some point. They have to.
Yeah.
Just we'll see when and who. Just like everything else, when and who. Who the hell knows? NP, thank you. Watched highlights all week. Travis Hunter all week to get excited. Now the Browns want him. Any advice for Giants fans who constantly get their hopes up year by year? Hang in there, bro.
Yeah, I mean, NP. Yeah, and what I'll say, MP, and we still might get Travis Hunter. Like, Abdul Carter was rumored to go to the Browns for weeks, and now the physical checked out. We haven't even had 24 hours to let that seethe in. So he may still end up with the Browns for all we know. But, MP, here's what I'm going to say, man, and Travis Hunter's exciting, a fun prospect, and I know the majority of Giants fans preferred him. I've said I prefer Abdul Carter, and I some people certainly agree with me. So I'd be thrilled if, in terms of those two. I'd be thrilled with Abdul Carter. He's a hell of a consolation prize if you're upset about losing Travis Hunter. He's a hell of a consolation prize. You're talking about a guy who could be a top four or five edge rusher in the sport. I don't think if the Giants end up with either one of those two prospects, anybody should be upset on draft night. Anybody. I think they're both fantastic prospects, and they play some of the most important positions in the sport.
Yeah. I agree. And also, if it makes you feel any better, NP, I have a family group chat with my uncle, his daughter, and my brother. It's called Giants Family, and all we do in that group chat is talk about the Giants. We are psychotic. And my uncle literally texted us this exact same thing a couple days ago and said, I just watched all of Travis Hunter's highlights. I watched a bunch of snaps. I'm so excited. He's so versatile. Day one, he'd be amazing on the Giants. And then my brother sends a tweet that says that the Browns are really high on Travis Hunter. He might be their guy at two. And my uncle's just like, there goes all my hopes and dreams for this Giants team.
Yes. Giants. I also am a Travis Hunter guy, but I you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. They're the two best players in the draft, and they both play incredibly important positions, and Travis Hunter plays two incredibly important positions, and that's why I preferred him. But I love Abdul Carter, and now that his medicals check out, and there's really no worry about that. Like I said, man, I grew up watching Lawrence Taylor, and I'm not saying he's going to be Lawrence Taylor. I'm just saying when you have that dynamic edge rusher that can get home on those passing situations, it makes a big difference when a team is in a passing situation and you know your guy's going to get there. And it's so huge to get off the field on third down because it's something we don't do as a team because we don't have a passer. We don't have that one guy that's like, where the hell is that guy? And if he's double teamed, that allows other people to get an opportunity, like a Brian Burns, who was great at the end of last year. And Dexter Lawrence, if healthy, we know he's one of the best defensive tackles, if not the best defensive tackle in the league. You add Abdul Carter to that front seven, it's going to look so much better. Listen, again, I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor, but you look at how crappy you guys that are maybe a little bit older than me, you look at where the Giants were before they drafted LT and look at where they went after him. The first year he was there, they went to the playoffs. They hadn't been in the playoffs in 17 years. First year he was there, right to the playoffs, and won a playoff game against the Eagles. Okay, they ended up losing to the eventual champion 49ers. But again, that edge rusher makes a huge deal, without question.
Of course it does. How could you be a Giants fan and not realize that with our history? Of course the edge rusher makes
it. Hands another one. Yeah, we've had some of the best ever. Yeah. I would love Abdul Carter to be one of the best ever for us. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Nick. Yeah, we're missing Micah Parsons, too.
That's right. Nick, well, that was Dave Gettleman's fault. We can't blame Joe Shane for that one. So Joe Shane, make up for it, baby. Let's go. Yeah. Nick, thanks so much. Damian Martinez from Miami is a big back to compliment our guy. Mox had him at 99.
Okay.
I've seen him a few times. I haven't watched a ton of Miami games, but I watched him. He is a big back, but it'd be a nice compliment to what we have. But I think I want more of the explosive type of running back if we're going to take a running back relatively early. That's just my mindset on it.
Yeah, I don't know how early 99 is. What I do know is this. I watched a lot. I watched almost every Miami game. I wasn't watching for Damian Martinez. I was watching Miami. It was to watch Cameron Ward. That's really all I paid attention to, man. If they ran the ball, I swear to God, I wouldn't pay attention. I just wanted to watch Cam Ward play because I kept saying, he's a giant. Me and my brother-in-law, he's a Raider fan. We go back and forth. I'm like, you guys won a game. You're going to beat the Jags. And now Cam Ward's ours. And then Drew Lock happened against Colts. And now Cam Ward's not ours. I'm not sad or nothing about it. Playboy Phil, thank you so much. I trade Hyatt and a fourth or fifth to jump to two and get Hunter, but that's just me. Hyatt complains because he can't run nothing else but a go route, so go somewhere else.
I don't know if that's enough to move.
Yeah. Hyatt's but worth
it. But the way I look at it is this. Why would Cleveland want to trade out?
What do you think Hyatt's value is at this point? He was a third round pick to begin with, and he's done nothing. He's entering his third year, right? He's done nothing in the pros, so maybe he's valued as a sixth round pick at this point. Like, he's not valued very highly. He can't be. I know speed's important, but that would essentially be like dropping down a spot from two to three for a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick. I Yeah, I don't think they like. I don't think they would do that. You'd have to give up more than that. To
I just don't know why Cleveland would do that, because if they're going to trade back for three, they're going to take the guy we don't, and they could take that guy anyway.
You know what I mean? You have to give up a lot more for them to be willing to do that. You'd have to.
Yeah,
give up a lot
more. I just don't know why Cleveland would, if they want Travis Hunter. I don't know why they would trade back to take Abdul Carter if they could just take Abdul Carter if they wanted him. Like I that's what I'm saying. I don't know why Cleveland would move out of that spot. But stranger things have freaking happened. We've seen it a number of times. Something strange is going to happen this year. It always does. A-Train, thank you. Love the show, guys. We appreciate that. We were 1-9 in one score games and we sucked. We were probably also like what, 0-5 and 3-5-10 score games that we lost.
10 score games.
I honestly think we do have a shot to prove some people wrong. Hey, if they can stay healthy and these guys produce, the guys Shane brought in produce, the guys he drafted last year take a step up, and the guys he drafts this year play as well as the guys that, you know, were rookies last year. I felt like they played really well. They played a big part in what we do. Giants can compete. I do think they're good enough. I don't think they'll embarrass themselves. It's a tough schedule, but it's a week-to-week league. I mean, anything can happen. So they got a shot, but it's a long shot.
Yeah. I also feel like I think the defense is going to be in a really good spot. The question that I have is Shane Bowen going to actually take advantage of the talent that we have? Because last year, our defense was not awful. It started off pretty good. And then obviously they had issues because the offense could never stay on the field. So I think that bringing in new talent is going to help there. But also there were so many times when Bowen was just doing the most bizarre things. Like, why are you playing soft coverage in the red zone? Like, have you seen the players that are on this team and that we had a 0% success rate every time you've done that? Like, I want to see him take advantage of these players and what they're good at. Bobby Okereke was one of our best players in this is third year with the Giants. So his first year with the Giants 2 years ago. Last year,
it was great.
Non-existent. No. So, like, what do we do? He's one of our best players. Like, he's got to figure that out. And I think that having more talent is going to help. I think if they bring in, whether it's Hunter or Carter, I hope that that's going to be some incentive for him to figure it out. But, like, I want to see them blitz a little bit. Like, I just want to see them play to their potential because I feel like it's there and I feel like the talent is there. But they have to be put in a position to succeed. And Bowen is the biggest question mark for me with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stat about the one score games, I never take too much into that because you could say that me and Bad Dog have been doing this long enough. We've talked about this in the past. You could say, every bad team loses a lot of one score games. You think back to the first time we were doing this. I think they lost like 7 1 score games. Pat Shermer's first year here when we first started doing this. So good teams find ways to win the one score games. Bad teams find ways to lose.
Yeah, look at Kansas City. How many one score games did
they win? They win the one score game. Football's a game of inches. It's decided by one score games more often than not. So I don't read too much into that. I will say I do think this team could be a lot better this year. The only thing that's preventing me from being more optimistic about the potential win total is the schedule. But things change in the NFL, like Bad Dog said. It's week to week. You never know, and that's the beauty of the NFL, and that's why you never go into a season hopeless. The Giants could surprise. Giants could win 8 or 9 games. That's not insane. They did it in 2022. Nobody thought they'd win 9 games. This defense has potential, especially if we were to take a guy like Abdul Carter, to be really good. They definitely do. There's no denying that. You have the best interior pass rusher in football in Dexter Lawrence. You add Abdul Carter, who has potential to be an elite pass rusher, with Brian Burns, with Kayvon Thibodeau. You've improved the secondary dramatically. Second year in the defensive scheme. There's reasons to be hopeful about this defense. I think they could be definitely above average. And Russell Wilson, I'm not saying he's Russell Wilson of old, because I do not think he is, but he's not going to embarrass you. He could keep you in games. So there's reason to be hopeful about this team. The schedule is what scares me more than anything. But if they had a moderate schedule, I'd probably say 8 or 9 wins is very realistic. It's just the schedule just looks brutal right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Nick, thank you again, brother. He says, if they draft Carter, I could see Tibbs being traded during the draft. You guys are the best. We appreciate that.
Appreciate it, Nick. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to see what they would do with Kayvon Thibodeau. You never know. They could trade him during the draft. They could keep him and see what he does this year and decide if they want to pick up that fifth-year option or not. And I don't know. I wouldn't I wouldn't trade him. I would like to keep him with Abdul Carter. Obviously, his snaps are going to take a, you know, he's going to have less snaps. I would like to see all those guys in the field at once. We did this in 2012, 2011 with that NASCAR package where there was all pass rushers. So what the hell? Maybe Kayvon Thibodeau, they just tell him, dude, just you go after the quarterback. You go after the quarterback. Maybe Bowen's just like, dude, you go after him this time. You go after him this time. You go after him this time. All of you go after him this time. I think that'd be fun, honestly. I think a guy like Abdul Carter really could help Kayvon, because I do. I think, you know, we talked about this, Chris, and a lot. They never brought in competition for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones never had to step up. He wasn't going to lose his job to Drew Lock. He wasn't going to lose his job to Tommy DeVito or Mike Glennon. He knew that. They never drafted anybody to push him just where he could go, shit, I better get my stuff together or I'm going to end up losing my job. Never happened. He knew every year, no matter how bad he played, I'm a starter. I'm a starter. I got no competition. So competition usually can drive somebody to be the best. And if you don't like competition, it shouldn't be at this level. It's really the way I look at it. So I'd be excited to see Kayvon Thibodeau with Burns, Abdul Carter, and Dexter Lawrence. I think it'd be great. But maybe Joe Shane is like, we don't really need him anymore. And if we can get good value for him, let's move on for him. We're not going to sign him long term anyway.
I don't think Joe Shane is going to look to trade him, but I could see Kayvon being pissed off if they draft Abdul Carter. I'm not saying that will happen, but I could at least see it. And then that could spark a trade. But I don't think Joe Shane is looking to trade Kayvon. He clearly believes in him. He drafted him fifth overall. And, you know, as underwhelming as he's been at times, he has shown glimpses, right? His rookie year in particular, he has shown glimpses to show that he could be an elite player. Now, a lot of players show glimpses. Daniel Jones showed glimpses. We talked about that all the time. He didn't do it enough. We need to see more consistency from Kayvon. He did play well last year for the most part when he played, but he got hurt. So you got to hope as a fan this year he's healthy. If you do draft an Abdul Carter, maybe that opens up the defense and that lets him really hit what we feel could be his peak, and we'll see. I don't think they're going to look to trade him. I just could foresee that potentially happening as the season prolongs. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think you got to keep him just in the beginning. I also kind of feel like he's a Joe Shane draft pick. So I don't think that Joe, like Chris said, is going to be on the phone trying to get rid of him. But I do think that if he's kind of just mediocre 5 weeks into the season with Abdul Carter here, then I think you got to start shopping him and see if you can get something out of him. Because if it's that far into the season at that point and Abdul Carter is light years ahead of him and he just looks like he's not getting any better, and the added competition of having Carter and Burns in the building is not helping him, then it's over.
Yeah, especially if we get off to a bad start. And you can definitely see that happening. NYG31, thank you so much for the donation, brother. Much appreciated. Nick, thank you again, brother. You're the man. He says, as an older Giants fan, even a little – I like the way he says, even a little older than Bad Dog. What are you saying? I'm just kidding. I really appreciate your content. We appreciate that. I follow all you individually as well as Nick Filato and Bobby Skinner, but you guys are the most entertaining. Thank you. We appreciate that. We got to get Bobby on this show.
I got to shoot Bobby a text. I'm sure he'll call. He actually asked me to come on for draft week on his channel, so I'm sure he'll come on. I'll get him on. But, yeah, I love both. I've worked with Nick before, too. I actually met both those guys at Giants games. Both of them are really nice guys. We talk about when we met Kid Blue how short he was. Nick Filato's like 5 foot five.
Kid Blue is 5 foot flat.
Yeah, right? Kid Blue's like 5 foot flat. But both of those guys are really nice guys, make great content, great film breakdowns. They have a lot of knowledge and two of the better content creators in the community. So, but we appreciate you for being here and at least finding us entertaining, Nick, and we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kid Blue next to my buddy DWG, who stands 6'7". That was always a funny as hell. It was very funny. John, thank you so much. We have seen what happens when you force quarterback pick with DJ. Sure would have been the sixth or seventh quarterback in last year's draft. Now suddenly he's worth third overall. Bill, the team BPA, and Maris, an idiot. Tell us how you really feel. Yes, I agree. I mentioned that a couple shows ago. Where would J.J. McCarthy have been in this quarterback class if you passed on him last year at six? Is Shedeur Sanders better than J.J. McCarthy? I don't think so. So I think both of them had major question marks going into it. I feel like if they're going to take quarterback, they would have taken McCarthy last year. I know Malik Nabers is a beast. I get that. But if they really were sold on a quarterback, they would have done last year, knowing Joe Shane is going into.
Joe Shane didn't change. You know, I give him credit for that. Like, even though I really thought he was going to go short, and selfishly as a fan, I want that long-term answer. He didn't sway. I think those are comparable quarterbacks. Like I've said, I think they're very similar. I think both of them are fundamentally sound. Both of them have a relatively high ceiling, but they're not elite prospects. Joe Shane wasn't willing to make the pick last year. I think he probably views Shador similar as a prospect, and he said, I'm not willing to do it this year. I don't love him. I'm going to continue to build the team. So I credit him for that, man. It may cost him his job, but I credit him for sticking to what he feels is sufficient value at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'll give him a lot of credit if he doesn't pick Shador at three, especially if Carter and Hunter are on the board. Going best player available is so important. And we talked about this a little bit earlier about the value of the quarterbacks, but you know, Daniel Jeremiah, who's one of the most respected analysts when it comes to the draft, has Cam Ward listed as number 8 on his top 50 and Shador Sanders as number 19. And he has Abdul Carter as number 1. So it's just, unfortunately, the nature of the business when it comes to the quarterback. I think Cam Ward is great. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Does he deserve to go number 1 overall over Abdul Carter? Maybe not. And I really feel for him that he's going to the Titans, because I think he's just going to be put in a shit situation from day one. And I feel like that's not fair to him, but it is what it is. But they really have to build through the draft, and they have to build smartly, and going best player available at 3 should absolutely pay off, hopefully more than picking Shador there.
I agree with you 100%. He's going to be in a shitty situation, so they should pass on him and he should go to the Giants. I agree. Should happen. Corb, thank you so much. It blows my mind the so-called experts won't even consider Shador Sanders at number 2 when the Browns need a quarterback more than the Giants. I've been saying that for weeks.
Certainly a possibility.
That's where he was going. He was going to the Browns at 2. The Giants were going to be shit out of luck at a quarterback for the second year in a row.
I don't know how Cleveland. Listen, fans be fans. A lot of fans be upset if the Giants don't take a quarterback at 3, and I get it. But what about Browns fans? I mean, they have nobody. Yeah, we have 36-year-old Russell Wilson, but we know Russell Wilson can play at this level. And Kenny Pickett stinks, and they have nobody else.
Yeah.
I don't know how they don't go. I said the same thing. I just don't know how they, don't go quarterback, but they're the Browns. And like I mentioned last show, if anyone's worse than the Giants, it's the Browns.
If Shane doesn't want Sanders, which it at least, and who knows, I keep saying, who knows? Cause we would have said the same thing about Daniel Jones 3 weeks before his draft. And then the Giants ended up taking him. So that's the beauty of the draft. But if he truly doesn't want Shador Sanders, that would be the best case scenario for Joe Shane. He is begging the Cleveland Browns to take Shador Sanders because, one, then you get your choice of the top 2 prospects in this draft. But, two, all the pressure's off of him. At that point, you can't point at him and say, you should have taken Shador Sanders. I couldn't. Couldn't take him. So all the pressure's off of him at that point. So Joe, I'm sure, if he doesn't want Sanders, is praying Cleveland takes him at 2. Praying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would take all the pressure off Joe Shane.
Yeah,
I'm sure Joe Shane's like, please take him, please take him, please take him.
Yeah,
I wonder what would Joe Shane would do though if Hunter and Carter were there. Now it seems like they covet Carter, but perhaps that's because they think Hunter is going. That would be a good problem.
One thing I'll say, Bad Dog, and this maybe he will come in for a top 30 visit. The pattern with Joe Shane, like I said, I don't think he's ever taken a guy early in the draft that he hasn't brought in for a top 30 visit. He still has not brought Travis Hunter in for a top 30.
He has not.
Brought in Abdul Carter. He brought in Shador Sanders. He has not brought in Travis Hunter.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Nando, thank you. He says, my son Elias's birthday is next Tuesday. Please say happy birthday to him. He's watching right now. Me. Happy birthday, Elias.
Happy birthday, buddy.
And then I'm going to follow up with this because I see it here. He said, I forgot to mention my son is going to be 8 years old, and he asked me to say that he loves you guys. Go Giants. Let's go, Elias. Go Giants. My son just turned 8 on Monday. So you're the same age as my son, Elias.
We appreciate both you guys for watching, man. Thank you guys for watching.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
And on that note, guys, I got to run.
I got to head to the airport.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you guys for watching.
Absolutely. See you soon. Be good. Bye. All right, Chris and I are going to take you home.
We've never done this before.
We've been down this road before. D-Rock, thank you so much. This is, how would you feel if they took a bookend offensive tackle, Membo from Missouri? I am not for it, but saw some drafts, a bookend, not a three.
No, I actually did see a mock where the – I think that was the guy they took, the offensive tackle. They took a tackle. I don't remember. No, I don't think it was
Membo?
But I saw they took a tackle. I know we're not taking a tackle, so I didn't even bother to look at the name. But I have seen mocks where they do have the Giants taking a tackle three. That will not happen. I'd be stunned if that happens.
They're bored. I'm going to make my own mock draft or we take somebody else. I just for the hell of it. Why not? But no, there's no way they're taking a tackle three. You take the best player available three. If you're not
Campbell,
taking the quarterback.
Yeah, you're right, Dolph. It was Will Campbell. He's right. It was Will Campbell.
So, but if you're picking three, you're taking the best player available. Or you're taking a quarterback. So a tackle there is not going to happen. And Joe Shane's been all about positional value. There is no way he's doing that early in the draft. No way. I wouldn't be happy. A lot of Giants fans wouldn't be happy.
No, at that.
Gabe, thank you. Says thoughts on who the Giants have run for top 30 visits. Among our other need positions, quarterback, defensive tackle, two offensive line. I feel like they might add a running back and consider and add another cornerback based on who they brought in. Running back, definitely.
I mean, they're taking a running back, bad though. I think you said they brought in five. So yeah. And they've only brought in about half their top 30 visits. So 33% of the players they've brought in thus far for top 30 visits have been running backs, and it's the strength of the class. And we don't have a number one. I think Tyrone Tracy, I think, could be a 1A, and I think he's good. I like him, but Giants clearly are prioritizing that position in this draft, and they're going with the strength of the draft. That's one of the two or three best positions in this entire draft class, if you listen to any expert. So it makes sense. That's definitely a major takeaway from it. And so far, Travis Hunter hasn't been brought in. That's interesting, at least. But maybe the Giants just don't feel it'll be there when they pick.
That definitely could be. So maybe they're not going to, waste their time with them or whatever. By the way, we got 400 people in here. If you haven't done so, hit that thumbs up for us and subscribe. Like I said, we're in over 4,200 subscribers this week. So we really appreciate you guys really making this channel grow a lot. We haven't even really got to anything yet because we haven't even got to the draft. So we really appreciate all the support. And again, you can also follow this show on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. So like I said, if you're catching it late and you want to catch it on your ride into work, your ride home from work, or you're just hanging out of the house, cleaning or doing whatever the hell you're doing, I'll put it on. You can check it out on those media outlets as well. Tyler, thank you again. He says, I did an Oklahoma drill with Monunge. I hope I'm saying that right. And he sent me into another stratosphere. Need the guy in Giants blue. Had whiplash for days after that. I'll have to take a look at him. I like Chris said, I don't watch Rutgers football, so I can't speak to what he looks like. I don't know anything about him. So I'll definitely have to take a look at him.
Yeah. No question. I know I wouldn't want to do the Oklahoma drill against them. So
no, I don't want to do the Oklahoma drill against anybody. I'm too damn old to do any of that. But with that said, guys and girls, we are going to get out of here. We are getting closer to the draft, and in a couple weeks from now, we're not gonna have to speculate anymore. I do think we've talked about this. I do think we will be live on the 23rd of April. Well, we're going to be live next week. Got to figure out the schedule. I'm going to miss one of those shows because I'm not going to be here. But the 23rd is Wednesday. We'll be back to our normal schedule. And I'm thinking that is the night we will do one of those NFL mock drafts just to see. We'll do a couple. I was not going to do all seven, but I think it would be fun, where we pick.
And I see CK say talking Giants soon. We'll be doing that leading up until then for sure.
Yeah, we'll have get back to that without we'll question. So.
Yeah.
Guys. So with that said, again, we really appreciate all the support that you guys and girls show and continue to grow this channel. And enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Enjoy your weekend. Well, we will see you soon. For the Entertaining Talking Sports, it's the Bad Diggy Dizzle, and we out.